brothers a better hand than that now. Give the Lord a better hand than that. But go ahead and encourage the brothers of the church. They have lifted up the name of the Lord in song. We want to welcome all of our additional worshipers who are coming into the house of prayer on this day. We have prayed unto the Lord. We have praised the Lord. And now we want to preach about the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Won't you stand and turn in your Bibles to the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. The 8th chapter of the book of Romans. Amen. There's a word from the Lord. This is what we normally have on third Sunday is what we have our baptism Sunday. And so we will continue to hold out and see if our candidate will join us on this third Sunday. And if not, we will baptize on Father's Day, the third Sunday in June. And that's always a special time of baptism, on Father's Day or on Mother's Day or on Resurrection Sunday. Any of these very special Sunday services are great opportunities to continue to reflect upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So I want you to turn with me to Romans chapter 8, starting in verse number 28. You should recognize this from two Sundays ago when I started this two-part sermon series about the things that Paul were talking about. The things. And we're going to reflect some more on those things today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Say amen. We've located the text. Romans chapter 8, starting in verse number 28. The Bible reads as follows. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Go to verse number 37. He says, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Somebody say, thank you, Lord,
thank you, Lord,
that nothing can separate us. I would that you pray with me on the title of this sermon, Evidence That Demands a Verdict. Evidence that demands a verdict. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I thank you for what we've already experienced in worship here today. Thank you, O Lord, for the songs of Zion that have been rendered and lifted up. Thank you for this male choir. Thank you, O Lord, for the effectual fervency of prayer and that which Deacon DeCazzi led us in just moments ago. And now, Lord, we simply ask that you would be present with us during the preaching moment, that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts will be acceptable in your eyesight, O Lord. Let your anointing continue to flow in this place. Some have come as guests to watch a baby be blessed and dedicated. Others perhaps have come to share by a friend's invitation. So yet others are coming seeking to see what might happen in this place. But Father, help us to not take our eyes off of what's around us and look at what's above us. And Father, we know if we keep our eyes looking up to the hills, from whence cometh our help, all of our help will indeed come from the Lord. Bless now, O Lord, in the name of Jesus we do pray. Let the saints of God, the redeemed of the Lord, say together, amen, 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 and amen. God bless you. and God keep you is our prayer. Ushers, you may be seated. Let's say at the outset of the 8 o'clock sermon that I will not be preaching at the 11 o'clock sermon because I will be traveling up to the Union Baptist Church in Montclair, New Jersey for their an anniversary service that has been long in the making. And so I've asked the Reverend Morella Holmes to preach at the 11 o'clock service. So any of you who feel led to stay for a double dose of the word today, certainly by all means do so. And we look forward to a great report at the 11 o'clock service. And so this is the service that I'm going to give this second part of this two-part sermon series that will then be uploaded to our website so that anyone who watched part one, which was on May the 4th, the fourth Sunday in May, will then be able to see part two on May 18th, two Sundays later. We took a break, obviously, because of Mother's Day, and the Lord led me to talk about Rahab on last Sunday. And so now I want to end this two-part series of Paul, who gives us great scripture. Remember what I said, that Paul's work and his ministry is outstanding. He is an extraordinary pastor. He is an extraordinary evangelist. He is an extraordinary teacher. He is an extraordinary theologian. Paul was an extraordinary man of God, but he was also no more extraordinary than other men of faith and women of faith that we find located in the Bible. And yet we do find Paul to be unique in his writing ability. Paul wrote nearly half of the New Testament chapters of the 27. Paul wrote 13. And we know that Paul made a great contribution to the kingdom of God. But as I've said, it is Paul who is also known as a great motivator. And this is where I find Paul's practicality to be overwhelming, because it is scriptures that I started learning when, and you, I am sure, started learning when we were probably in grade school, right? Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, or who strengthens me, right? That's a scripture that I want my children, Daniel and Amaris, to be able to readily draw into their lexicon, into their language, into their memory, because they need to understand that no matter what they're up against, they can do all things. And I don't want that just to be for my children. I want that to be for every child. Because so many folk will tell them that they can't. They need to remind themselves, even when folk are not there to remind them, that they can do it, right? If any of us had given up when everybody told us we can't, we all would not be sitting here right now. But because somebody had the audacity to say, I can, then you are where you are by the grace of God. And even if you don't think you're where you want to be yet, you ought to look back and realize you're not where you used to be, that the Lord has brought you a mighty long way. That deserves a hallelujah right there. Amen, somebody. And so we can do all things in a world where we are told that we can. There was a young biracial child that spent some time in his young life in the Far East in Indonesia, and found his way to the cornfields of Kansas, made his way to Occidental College in Los Angeles, made his way to Columbia University in New York, went to Chicago, made his way into community organizing, and then at the audacity to think I could be senator one day from the state of Illinois. And then after that, he had the audacity to think he can be president of the United States. And as much love as I have for Hillary Clinton, when everybody thought that Hillary was the shoe-in, look at what this young biracial child by the name of Barack Hussein Obama, not what he did, but what the Lord did. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Paul gives us a great motivational scripture. But then in Romans chapter 8, I said other scriptures out of Ephesians, out of Galatians, put on the whole armor of God. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. All scriptures in which Paul helps us to remember that we are in a fight. We are in a fight for our bodies. We are in a fight for our minds. And certainly we are in a fight for our souls. The devil wants to kill, wants to steal, and wants to destroy you. And you need to be reminded that it is not me, but I can do this thing because of Jesus who died for me. Amen, somebody. Because I'm sure right now folk are telling, somebody on your job is telling somebody that you will never get the promotion. You will never make it through the circumstance. You'll never get over the mountain. You'll never get around the issue. But you need to keep reminding yourself that you can do it. You can do it. You can do it in the name of Jesus Christ. Has anybody ever had to tell themselves, self, I can do this with Jesus on my side? Paul gives us three, I think, no matter as good as that scripture is, Philippians 4:13, Paul gives us a trilogy of scriptures in Romans chapter 8. And I've already shared them with you on May the 4th, in which he highlights three scriptures, right? He says, and we know that all things work together for good, right? Put that scripture up. We know all things work together for good. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And in that text, Paul highlights a word, things. He says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and the called according to his purpose. Then he goes down to Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Put the scripture up, and he says, right? He says, what then shall we say to these things? Right? If God is for us, who can be against us? Right? It's almost the flip side of Romans 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. If God is for me, who can be against me? I just want to serve notice to the devil today, right? Not that he snuck his way up into the sanctuary, because the devil don't like coming to church. Or does he? Amen, somebody. Point of fact, I think the devil loves coming to church because he wants to disrupt some folk from having church. The devil wants, not that anybody sitting next to you is the devil. Let's be real clear. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Don't look at your neighbor saying, give them a weird look. Don't do that. But when you encounter the devil, and you will, you need to remind yourself, if God is for me, he's more than the world against me. And in all of these things, I need to speak to the devils and the obstacles in my life. And I need to say, devil, get thee behind me. I know you've come to rob me of my joy, but get behind me. I know you've come to destroy my marriage, but get behind me. I know you've come to disrupt my church, but get behind me. I know you've come to give sickness and cause sickness in my body, but get behind me. Has anybody ever had to put the devil behind and to put the devil underneath? Because you need to say, I'm not going to let you get the best. What you have claimed, I'm going to reclaim. Because God says, I can do this thing. These are scriptures that you need to invoke in the practicality of your situations. He then goes to another scripture in which he references things. He says in Romans chapter 8, verse 37, right? He says in verse 37, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We are more than conquerors. And when I preached this two Sundays ago, I used these trilogy of verses to highlight a framework that simply says that in your mind, right? Go back to Romans 8, 28. He says, and we know in your mind, you need to have an understanding of what God has done and what God can do. And so I use the statement, the framework, what do you know?
Because at this point in your Christian walk, you ought to know some things. I don't care how old you are in the flesh. If you've been walking in the spirit for any length of time, and if you claim that the Lord Jesus is your Lord, then there ought to be some things that you know. There ought to be some things that are intuitively stuck in your mind like Velcro. There ought to be some things that you need to reflect in the prefrontal cortex of your brain to say that in my mind, in my head, I know this. I've seen this thing before. I've seen this kind of devil before. I know what to do in this kind of situation. And the reason I know it, because I've been through it before. Because if you've been through it before, then you ought to be able to recognize what is now coming at you. Anybody know that you know that you know? Grandmama used to say, I know down in the bosom of my soul that the Lord can make a way out of no. I know that he is a mountain mover. I know that he is a bridge builder. I know that he is a heavy load sharer. I know it in the depth of my soul. Paul says, and we know. Then I said, then you also have to speak. And so you have to go from your cognition to your elocution. All right? To elocute. Y'all thought I made it up. It's in the dictionary. It's in there. Your elocution. You need to, right, be able to speak some things. And I tell myself, as I said a little bit earlier, when I'm down in the valley and we're going through despair, I need to keep knowing it, but I also need to keep speaking it. Because the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if I confess my sins, the Lord is faithful and just to forgive me of my stuff and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I know you can think about it. You can have reflective, meditative time, but every now and again, you need to open up your mouth. And you need to start speaking some things. You just start saying some things. You need to start calling on the name of the Lord. I know there's a time to be quiet. There's a time to be reflective. There's a time to be meditative. But every now and again, you need to open up your mouth and say, ah, I got to talk to my Father. Ah, I got something in my spirit. I need to, I've been quiet too long. Devil, I've not said what I need to say, but the Lord is causing me to speak. Sometimes you need to speak over yourself, over your family, over your situation, over your circumstances. You need to speak. Because somebody said that in the Bible, the scriptures and Proverbs says life and death, in the Old Testament, life and death is in the power of the tongue. And so what you say can form your own reality. I'll go around speaking stuff that are not yet happening all the time. I'm speaking right now, trying to get through this doctoral program. I'm speaking it because the Bible says, speak those things that are not as if they were. I know I haven't yet gotten through it, but I'm going to keep on speaking it. I haven't gotten through the door, but I'm going to keep on speaking to it. I haven't gotten over the river, but I'm going to keep on speaking to it. The Red Sea hasn't yet parted, but I'm going to keep on speaking to it. I can do all things. I'm more than a conqueror. I can do this. I'm not going to give up the fight. The Lord didn't bring me this far. I can do it. I'm going to keep on speaking it. Because that which I speak often shapes my reality. If I speak negativity, then don't be surprised when I give birth to negativity. If I speak pessimism, don't be surprised when the world is always caving in on you. But when you begin to say, I know what it looks like, but I'm going to speak something else. I know what it sounds like, but I'm going to speak something else. I know what it feels like, but I'm going to speak something. I'm going to speak something else in the name of Jesus. So Paul says, and we know. Then he says, and I say, what
do we say? But then he goes to this third point, as I've shared already in the text. He goes to verse 37, and he says, and yet in all these things, we are. And so it's not what I know. It's not what I'm saying yet. It's what I am. In the present tense, right? Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Listen, to be a conqueror is one thing, but to be more than a conqueror gives a statement that said you've got possibility to do more than you could imagine. That's why I love the Lord when the Bible says, I will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you will not even have room enough to receive it. I'm more than a conqueror. The things that I think I can do more than that. Stop limiting yourself, because a lot of us put limitations based on our race, based on our gender, based on our age, based on our geography, based on our zip code, based on our degree or no degree, based on who we know. But I'm one of those people that believe that if I really say I can do all things, that means I'm more than a conqueror. I'm not going to put any limitations on not what I can do, but no limitations on what God can do. How many of you know God can do everything? Everything but fail. And so if he can do everything and I'm a child of God, then I gotta think I'm more than a conqueror. I look at that text in the Old Testament when Moses sent out the spies and 10 came back and said, we're grasshoppers. We're like grasshoppers in our own sight. He began to speak a negative reality. For if I say I'm a grasshopper, don't get surprised when I start hopping around like a grasshopper. Come on, somebody. But thank God for Joshua and thank God for Caleb. For Caleb and Joshua said, don't believe the majority report, Moses. I've seen it for myself. And we can do this. We can take the land. I'm not a grasshopper, y'all. I'm a child of God. I'm not a grasshopper, y'all. I am fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of Almighty God. I'm not a grasshopper, y'all. I am more than a conqueror. I am not a grasshopper. I'm a member of a royal priesthood, a chosen nation, a holy nation, a chosen generation. I am somebody. Long before Jesse Jackson starts saying it, God said, you are somebody. You need to remind yourself when the devil tells you you're nobody, that you need to say, I am somebody. You may not like who I am. You may not want to be around who I am, but I know who I am. I am a child of the King. The Lord didn't bring me this far to leave me now. I am more. I'm not just a conqueror. Look, you need to tap somebody. I know you think you know who I am, but I'm more than you think you know who I am. I'm more than a conqueror. But in order to tell somebody else, you need to believe it for yourself. And I come across folk all the time who believe more that they can't than they can. And so Paul says, things. Verse 37, 28, things. Verse 31, things. Verse 37, things. It's all in the text. And I said earlier in the sermon 2 weeks ago that Paul does not intentionally, I believe, does not define the word things. Because my things are not your things. And your things are not my things. And see, we all going through some things. And whatever things you going through, I want to encourage you to get through your things. And whatever things I'm going through, I hope you can help me, encourage me to get through my things. Whether it's college graduation, as some of the
folk are getting through final papers and all of that good stuff. Things, whether it's sickness in the body, things. I just got a note that Ruth Richards is going to the hospital. We're going to pray for her, right? Medical things, academic things, professional things, things on my job, things in my house, things in my body, things in my mind, things in my church, things in the choir, things in my car, things in my bank account, a bunch of things. Come on, somebody. But you need to be reminded today that the things are not bigger than God, who is over everything. Paul gives us, in all of my statements that we don't know what the things are, I believe Paul gives us a statement that is quite provocative in verse number, the last two verses of the text, verse 38. And verse 39, he says again, he says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things. He mentions that word things one more time. And here is where I want to change my earlier statement that Paul doesn't define the things, because I believe in verse 38 and verse 39, Paul begins to enumerate some things. He says, I am persuaded that there's no thing too high, there's no thing too low, there's no thing too wide. Come on, somebody. There's nothing up in heaven, and there's nothing on earth. Paul begins to lay out the breadth and the depth of whatever thing you think you might be dealing with. And Paul begins to give flesh and meaning. He goes to the next verse in verse 39. He says in verse 39, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate me from the love of God. And I just stop by to tell anybody, everybody, and somebody that no matter what thing you're dealing with this morning, don't you let it separate you from the love of God. I need somebody, anybody, and everybody to understand what the Apostle Paul is trying to say today, that no matter how high your thing is, no matter how low your thing is, no matter how strong your thing is, that nothing can separate you from the love of God. And I'm so glad today that God said, I'm going to be with you through every storm, through every valley, over every mountain. I'm not going to let you go because I've got your back. I'm going to prop you up. I'm going to pick you up. I am with you. No matter who's against you, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Now, as I get ready to go to my seat, this is where my wife leaned over to her aunt and said, he always wanted to be a lawyer. She thought I didn't see it. I see everything. She said, why didn't you just go to law school? Go ahead and get it out. Get it over. Because I married a lawyer. I don't need to go to law school. Paul uses a word in verse 38. So I've already focused on things. Now he's defined a few things. But he says in verse 38, I am persuaded. When I thought about the meaning of that word, it is a French word that finds its roots in a Latin word, persuadere. And so this word is a compound phrase, per, which means through or to completion. Suadere or suadere in Latin is a word that means to advise. And so often legal lees, my lawyer, right, in her profession, uses the word to persuade a jury, right? Uses evidence to outline an argument that is persuasive enough, and depending on what statute you're dealing with, either beyond a reasonable doubt, right? Rob, am I all right already? Or if there's no jury, just to persuade the judge, right? Your Honor, I'm laying out my argument. I rest my case. I want to present Exhibit A, Exhibit B, Exhibit C to back up my case. I'm trying to persuade and advise fully a jury or a judge or a magistrate that what I'm saying is true. Now, when I thought about that word, Paul says, I am persuaded. So now Paul ceases to be in the role of a district, a prosecuting attorney or defense attorney. And Paul now takes the position, I think, of the magistrate or the judge. And he says, based on the evidence, I am persuaded. Listen, you're not getting this thing, are you? Not that God has to persuade me, because he's already the judge. But based on the evidence that my Father has laid out before me, I am persuaded. You're not getting this thing. When I think back over my life and look at what the Lord has brought me through, I've got enough evidence to say that I am persuaded. Is anybody persuaded here today that the Lord will do everything the Lord said he would do? Is anybody persuaded here today that God is a mountain mover? Is anybody persuaded here today that God is a bridge builder? Is anybody persuaded here today that the Lord will fight your battle? Is anybody persuaded? But listen, 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 it gets better than that. Because now that you understand the etymology of the word per, fully, swadere, advise, to fully advise, to fully inform. Another anglicized way to say persuade, put the screen up, the last screen. It is to say that I am fully convinced. I have brought to completion my case. I hope I've caused you to believe. And so the word persuade is to say, I have fully and thoroughly convinced you that what I'm saying is right. And so Paul simply concludes, Lord, I am persuaded. I am fully convinced that nothing the devil does to me is going to get the best of me. I am fully convinced that I can get through this valley and over this mountain. I am fully convinced that I am more than a conqueror. I am fully convinced that the devil's going to take his hands off my children. I am fully convinced that the church is going to accomplish what God said they will do. I am fully convinced that my marriage is going to be all right. I am fully convinced that the Lord is a way maker and a burden bearer. Evidence that demands a verdict. I am fully convinced today. And I believe Paul says simply in concluding, I am convinced. I don't need any more evidence. Because if the Lord doesn't give me another strand of evidence, he's already rested his case. I am standing here because of the grace and the mercy of Almighty God. If the Lord doesn't bless me another minute, if the Lord doesn't do another miracle, He's already given me enough evidence to say I am fully convinced. And going forward, I don't care what the devil tries to do. I'm not going to let the devil change my speech. I'm not going to let the devil change my walk. I'm not going to let the devil change my disposition. I'm going to stay on the battlefield. I'm going to keep holding up the bloodstained banner. I don't care what the enemy has to say. I am fully convinced that the Lord will do everything He said He will do. And I just stopped by to tell anybody, somebody, and everybody. Are you convinced yet? Has God shown you enough evidence to say, I'm going to take care of you? Even when you lose everything you thought you had, the Lord said, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to supply all your needs. Anybody been there? I'm going to supply all your needs according to my riches and glory. All I ask of you is to never lose faith and keep believing. Be convinced. Not just be convinced, be fully convinced that God is your advocate, your battle axe, your manna when you're hungry, your doctor in a sick room, your lawyer in a courtroom, your friend that sticks closer than a brother. God is everything you need, everything you want, everything you dream of, everything you can think of. God's already got it. And I need somebody who's fully, I mean shown up fully, convinced that they never gonna turn their back on the Lord. That you're going to praise Him in every situation. No matter what it looks like, you're going to give God some praise. In the name of Jesus, where are my praisers at? Where are my worshipers at? Where are my dancers at? Does anybody know what the Lord can do? In the name of Jesus, let the church say amen, amen, and amen. Give God a praise offering in this place. Everyone standing to the feet. Deacons and deaconess, clergy. Help me extend this invitation to discipleship. In the name of Jesus. Somebody here today? Somebody here today? You thought you were just coming to a baptism or a baby blessing. But the Lord had a divine appointment for you. And if you're here today and you don't know what the Lord is doing right now, just let go and let God. God is saying, I want you to get closer to me. That's what God is saying. And it's not about becoming a member of a church. It's not about a membership. It's about a relationship. And if you're here today and you don't have a relationship with God, I'm inviting you today to get closer to God. You can do that. So the choir's going to sing. And as they sing, if you want prayer, step into the aisle. One of these men or women will pray for you. But if you want to join this church right now, come on out the aisle. Give us your hand and give God your heart. But more important, if you want to give your life to the Lord Jesus, step out of the aisle, come on down, and say, Lord, I surrender. Go ahead and sing, gentlemen.
Victory is mine.
In the name
Victory
of Jesus.
Victory is mine. Yeah.